Okay, I'm going to turn off the mic. I think my voice is well enough to where I can speak a little loud, so if not, then I will turn the mic back on. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right, praise God.
Amen.
All right, we've been, for the past, Lord have mercy, I looked at the bulletin and it said, Forgiveness, the Key to Victorious Living, Part 10. I'm like, man, Part 10? Goodness gracious, I've been preaching on this long? 10? Well, praise God. I think we only have two more weeks, this week and next week, and then we'll be moving on to some other things. Doesn't that make y'all happy?
Yeah.
That was too loud of an amen there. I'm going to have to talk to you. Me and you after service. Oh. Some amens you say, some amens you don't. No. See, some of y'all were smart. Y'all said, I ain't saying amen on that one. Has to be having me in his office after church is over. All right. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be dealing with some false ideas concerning forgiveness. We're going to be dealing with false ideas concerning forgiveness. And we're going to talk, I have at least 15 in my notes, 15 false ideas concerning forgiveness that I have derived from either talking to people, watching television, reading magazines, be they secular or Christian, or other avenues in which I've heard some of these things or some of these understandings about forgiveness. And unfortunately, there are some Christians who believe some of these things. And it's unfortunate because Christians should be more knowledgeable of the Bible. And I would think that forgiveness is more of a basic understanding of Christianity than almost any other doctrine or subject. Yet I've come to find out that a lot of Christians have some false ideas concerning forgiveness. But not only Christians, but the world. But unfortunately, even more is that sometimes Christians get their wrong ideas from the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say this and I'll shut up about it because I don't try to get into your business. I let the Holy Spirit do that. But if you've spent less time watching TV and in your Bible, you probably know a lot more about the truth concerning some of these things than you would from what you're getting on TV. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's tight, but it's right anyhow, as the old folks used to say. All right. The first false idea concerning forgiveness. Forgiveness means that I pretend that what happened did not happen. Forgiveness means that I pretend that what happened did not happen. It's unfortunate. A lot of people believe that's what forgiveness is. That's why they don't want to forgive, because they think it means that I'm just pretending like what happened didn't happen. No, that's not true. Forgiveness is not denial. Say that with me. Say forgiveness is not denial. All right. We don't practice Christian Science or any of those other things from the mind science cults. You know, if somebody did you wrong, they did you wrong. What happened, happened.
Yep.
Forgiveness is not putting a blindfold over ourselves and pretending that what happened did not. The incident that happened was real, and the hurt that you experienced was real. And as a matter of fact, the only way for God to heal you emotionally is that you be honest and acknowledge what was done. And then you give it to the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Some of the scriptures I'm going to show you don't speak directly to the subject of forgiveness, but they do have plenty to do with the subject. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And because for the sake of time, I'm going to go through these real quick. So if you can't find the passages, just write them down, look at them later. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, you can't cast your cares on the Lord if you deny that the care is there. Amen?
Amen.
If the hurt, if you pretend like the hurt ain't there, you can't give it to the Lord. But see, once you acknowledge that, say, somebody hurt me, Somebody did me wrong. You can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to forgive them, but I'm so hurt by this. So you can take, but you can take that to the Lord because you're acknowledging that. See, you know you need to forgive, and you're not pretending that the thing didn't happen. You're now asking the Lord for help. But you can't do that if you're going to pretend like the thing didn't happen in the first place. But see, that's been so many people's objection to forgiving is because they say, well, if I forgive, I'm just going to it seems like I'm just pretending that didn't happen in the first place. No, that's not true. You are acknowledging what happened, but you are going to take it to the Lord, and you're going to give it to Him, and you're going to say, well, yeah, what happened, happened, but I forgive that person anyway. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, you can't cast your care on God if you pretend like the care does not exist. Tell God the truth. Tell Him how you feel about it. And then you can be healed. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The second false idea concerning forgiveness. Forgiveness means that I approve of the wrong that was done. No. That's some strange thinking there, but that is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not mean that you approve of what that person did to you. You are simply saying that, yeah, what you did was wrong. But I forgive you. I release you from that debt that you owe me. So forgiveness is not by any means saying that what you did to me was okay. Because it wasn't. On the contrary, forgiveness is simply releasing the person from a debt that they owe you. That's all it is. See, Matthew chapter 6 verse 12, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, part of the prayer that you pray to God is, Father, forgive me for my debts as I forgive my debtors. So it's not saying that the person didn't do anything to you or that you approve of what they've done. You are simply saying, I release you from the wrong that you did. You know, look at Matthew chapter 18 real quick. I want you to see something. So, basically, forgiveness is neither denial nor is it approval. It's release. That's basically all it is release. It's letting it go. It's giving it up to somebody greater than you. Because you can't handle that hurt. You can't handle that pain. You can't handle holding that person in debt. So many people are walking around with arthritis and with all kinds of other physical and emotional maladies because they found out that they have not yet come to realize that they cannot handle the debt that somebody owes them. And they just take it and they keep it inside them and they boil and they burn and it causes them all kinds of problems. But see, it's not a matter of putting a blindfold over you or saying, okay, what you did was okay, it's all right. No, it's not all right. But in verse 18, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus says unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Amen.
See, what Peter and Jesus, the words that they have here, is that Peter didn't say, okay, Jesus, if my brother does something wrong to me, do I pretend like it didn't happen? Do I pretend or do I approve of what happened? No, he didn't say that. He simply said, if my brother sins against me, he acknowledged that the man sinned against him. In other words, he did me wrong. I acknowledge what he did wrong. And Jesus did not answer him back and say, oh no, pretend like it didn't happen. And Jesus did not say, oh no, just whatever he did, just approve of it. He said, no, forgive him. Now he gave some time. He said, you know, you got to do it like 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus was given an exaggerated figure to let you know that you need to give unlimited forgiveness. So don't y'all start breaking out your calculator saying, okay, that was the third time. You got 487 more times and I'm going to get you. Don't put the calculators away. So remember, it's neither denial nor is it approval. It is release. Praise God. The third false idea concerning forgiveness. I don't know, if I keep going through them as fast as I am, I might get through them today. Forgiveness means that I must reconcile with the person who may have abused me, even if they have not repented or shown any genuine signs of remorse. Not necessarily. Look at Romans chapter 12. Now, don't y'all get too happy about this, okay? Because I got some other things I'm going to share with you on this area. Romans chapter 12. Verse 17 and 18, it says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. They're basically saying as much as possible, as much as it lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Let me tell you something. If you had a husband who was beating the crap out of you every day, and you had to leave, and this happens all the time. Yep. Women have been killed trying to reconcile with crazy men like that be beating them. Mm-hmm. But if he's been beating you, and you got away from him, and he hasn't shown any signs of remorse or repentance. And baby, let me tell you, you wait a long time for that. Mm-hmm. Just because he comes back and he eats some flowers and says, baby, I'm sorry, forgive me, that don't mean you take him back. Mm-hmm. If he's been beating you, you love him, you forgive him, but you do it from a distance. Amen. You hear me?
Amen.
You do not go move back in with somebody who's been beating up on you and physically abusing you.
No, true.
You don't do it. You wait until, first of all, you pray. And when God says, I have changed his life, then maybe, and you know, if the Lord says, you know, if the Lord speaks, basically you pray. But I will tell you, do not put yourself in an abusive situation. As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. If that means love him from afar, then love him from afar. If my wife was putting a big skillet frying pan upside my head every day, do you think I'm going to live with her? Yeah, I will do my best to forgive her, but I sure ain't going to live in the same house with her. I'll tell her over the phone, baby, I forgive you, bye. It'll take the act of God to have me come back. But I'm not going to sit there and get, you know, okay, I forgive you. I'm moving back in. 2 days later, kapow!
Different pants.
I'm telling you, yeah, because the last one was bloodied up. No. I ain't got much brains as it is now. I don't need no more damage to them. Glory to God. Oh, Father, forgive me for that bad confession. All right. But you got to live at peace possibly with all people. If you and another person just can't seem to get along, I would say, yeah, try to work it out as best as you can. I mean, if it's not a physical abuse thing.
Right.
You should try to work it out as best as you can. But if you know that there's going to be tension between the two of you, then try to keep away from each other for a while until you both get sanctified. Praise God.
Amen.
So, basically, when it comes to abusers or any other people, do it as best as possible. Number four. Forgive means I must trust the person again. No, that's a false idea. I can forgive somebody and not necessarily trust them. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the hardest person for me to ever forgive would be a pedophile. Somebody who takes advantage of little kids and do what they do to them. It would be hard for me to forgive them. But I am required to forgive anybody for even the most horrendous sins. Yes. So I would forgive the person, but I would never put them in charge of youth ministry.
Amen. Amen.
You don't.
Amen.
Well, he's repented. Go ahead, take care of the kids. No, that's idiocy.
Yes.
So yeah, you can forgive people. But you know that doesn't necessarily. They have to build that trust back up.
Amen.
If you've been, if your husband's been, or your wife has been committing adultery, you forgive them. Praise God! It takes a real man or a real woman to forgive their husband or wife for doing something like that. But if they do that, yes, forgive them. But watch them. You know they can't just come home and then you know. Baby, I'm sorry for what I did, and then just go sneaking out again every single night. No, you got to, they got to earn that trust again.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So, you know, for those of you who have been through situations like that, you can't expect your wife or your husband to just say, okay, pretend like it didn't happen, because it happened.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the same thing when we go back to a physical abuse. If somebody's been hitting you, and even if you do, if the Lord does move you to move back in with the person, you still continue to watch them.
Amen.
Get, in a situation like that, it may take years before the trust is built back up. So trust has to be earned. Forgiveness should be done right away. Trust has to be built back up.
Yes.
Praise God. I remember some years ago when young man, he went to Korea. Good brother. He was a really good brother, but went to a foreign country and fell into temptation. And, you know, he was so hurt by what he did. You know, he went to his wife. Man, she snatched the wedding rings off both their fingers. And, you know, they continued to live together, you know, but he... You know, after what he did, he knew he had to earn her trust back. He did. I mean, he showered that woman with love, and it took several months, but he knew he had to be patient with her. After several months, you know, one Valentine's Day, they went out to dinner, and he comes home. You know, he's not like this. He's not the kind of person who's, like, super romantic or anything, but... He even wrote a song for her.
Oh, nice.
Got on his knees, sung the song for her. She started crying. She ran in the bedroom, put the rings back on their fingers. And they're, as far as I know, they're in heavenly bliss now. But it took him some time to earn his wife's trust back. And that's what you'll have to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you can't just say, well, you gotta trust me now. You're supposed to have forgiven me. Forgiveness and trust are two different issues.
Amen.
All right. Number five. I'm still feeling the pain of the wrong done to me, so I must not have genuinely forgiven the person. A lot of people struggle with this one. See, you got to understand something. Forgiveness has nothing to do with your feelings. It is a decision that you make. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that you won't that the hurt's not going to be there. Sometimes it takes time to heal the hurt. You know, God can do, sometimes he can heal you instantaneously. There's some of us who can bounce back easily. You know, in many cases, I've been able to just, you know, somebody did me wrong. It took me maybe a couple of hours and I'm over it. Sometimes it's taking me days. Sometimes it's taking me over a month. Not everybody's as resilient as I am, and I've had to come to learn to understand that. You know, as my wife always said, don't think everybody thinks like you do. You know, I get mad. Why don't they? Honey, don't everybody think like you. You know, God had to show me the same thing. I can't expect everybody to feel the way I feel or do, or to bounce back the way I bounce back. And then I've had to go through a few tests so that I can be a little more sympathetic to others too. But it got me out of pride and arrogance. But the thing is, the truth is, the pain may be there for a while, but it doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. And matter of fact, every time the memory comes up, as I told you in the past, you just keep saying, make that confession. Say, I forgive him. I forgive her. I forgive what that person did to me. See, some people have this false idea that it takes a long time before I can forgive you. That is not true. I have to go through these steps or a journey. This is what some psychologists teach. The steps to forgiveness or the journey towards forgiveness. No, it's not a step or a journey.
One step.
It's simply making up my mind, I forgive Steve. Steve ain't do nothing to me, by the way. I'm just saying, just using him as an example because he happened to be sitting up in front. But you say, I forgive the person. That's just a decision you make. Now, let me also try to help you understand there are some people that may need counseling, that they may need to be talked to and to be discipled before they can come to see the need to forgive or how to forgive. And I understand that. You know, because if a person who hasn't been a Christian a long time, or they've been a Christian a while but they haven't been taught anything, and then we might have to sit down and go through the Bible with them and keep teaching them and keep teaching them until they finally have said, okay, now I see it. Yes, I do need to forgive. But see, that's because we have to teach them, because they don't understand. It's not because we're taking them through a journey. The forgiveness part is a decision. Sometimes you have to keep teaching them until they can make that decision.
Yep.
So yes, sometimes I understand people do need the counseling, biblical counseling, okay?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, I took a psychology class. I didn't care too much for it. Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ who have taken psychology kind of like it. But, you know, when I started reading about Maslow's law and all this other stuff, I'm like, you know, this so much secular foolishness in the midst of what they call psychology these days. And I don't see where any of it reconciles with God, with the Bible. So when we talk about counseling, we're talking about biblical counseling. When I take you through the scriptures and show you that you have to forgive that person and what God will do for you when you forgive that person. So forgiveness is a decision from the heart. We looked at that in Matthew 18:35 a couple of weeks ago. Praise God. All right. False idea number 6. I cannot forgive until I am over the hurt of the wrong done to me. No, wrong answer. You have to forgive, even if you're still hurting. You have to forgive.
Yep.
Now, if you are expecting God's help in getting you over the hurt, then you have to make that quality decision to forgive even in the midst of your hurt. See, understand, the Christian walk is a walk of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is not based on feelings or emotions. It's based on obedience to the word of God. Believing what God has said and doing what he has said in spite of how I feel. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you, most of y'all don't go by your feelings in many decisions. You go by faith. How many of y'all feel like getting up in the morning to go to work? Or in the evening to go to work? Most of y'all feel like doing it?
No.
I'm about to say, I ain't see no hands raised. I tell you, Pastor Troy, almost every day, I don't feel like getting up going to work. Well, by faith, I go to work because I know, by faith, I believe there's a job there for me. By faith, I believe that man's going to give me a paycheck so I can pay my bills. So I go to work by faith. I don't feel like doing it. I wish God would just drop money down from heaven for me, but he's decided the way he's going to prosper me is to provide me with a job. So I have to go to work by faith. Well, it's the same thing with forgiveness. I can't do it because I don't feel like doing it because I'm hurt. I forgive because the Bible says I must do it.
Yes.
Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, we won't turn there, but we are cautioned in this passage to not allow bitterness to have its way in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And see, if we continue to reject the idea to forgive people because we are still hurting, then that hurt will turn to bitterness. All we'll ever be able to do is think of ways that we wish this person could be tortured and tormented. And, you know, it's going to cause us physical and emotional and mental problems in the long run.
Yes.
I believe a lot of our problems with people who have mental problems up there, Butler and some of these other places, are due to their bitterness. I believe a lot of arthritis is due to people not being able to forgive. Just letting bitterness have a root in them. My brothers and sisters, this is why God has us here at VWCF teaching about forgiveness. Because God does not want a root of bitterness to take over you. You can't be effective for Christ apart from being able to forgive somebody when they've done you wrong. Praise Jesus. You getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Here's another false idea. How many of y'all just like these false ideas?
Amen.
All right. Jesus is God, and he is able to forgive people. I am not God, and therefore I cannot forgive like he does. I don't know how many times y'all heard that. Well, he's God. I ain't God. Yeah, he can forgive, but that's because he's God. I just ain't God. I'm just not Jesus. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3.
Colossians what?
Colossians chapter 3. Yeah. Some people get on my nerves with that excuse. Yeah. Shaking your little head and all that. All them hair chemicals falling all over the place. I ain't Jesus. I ain't got to forgive. Good grief. Shaking your hair chemicals all over our nice clean floor. Lord have mercy. All right. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, just like Jesus forgave, you forgive.
Yep.
God never tells you to do something that you are not able to do. God does not command the impossible. If God tells you to do something, he will either give you the power to do it, or he knows that you already have the ability to do it. But God does not command you to do something that you cannot do. Now, there's a segment of Christians, I'm not going to mention who they are, but they teach that God commands the impossible and sends people to hell because they can't do the impossible that he commanded them to do. And he intentionally made it that way. That would be what kind of God would that be? That's not the kind of God I serve.
No.
My God is a just God. He is a fair God. And he never, ever tells me to do something. That would be like me telling my son, TJ, who's only 13 years old, boy, get out there and try that car and go to the store and get me some groceries. And don't give him no money. He can't drive. He never had a lesson in his life. Don't give him the keys. And then when he don't do it, I beat the living mess out of him. Now, some of y'all would say that was unjust and unfair, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I would too. Some of y'all would even call the cops. That man's abusing this. You never come to this church again. What kind of pastor is that? Well, what kind of God would that be? To tell you to do something you can't do and then punish you for doing it. For not doing it. That's not the kind of God we serve. God commands and he gives you the power to obey.
Yes, he does.
But it's still your decision to make to whether you're going to obey him or not. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me just give you one more. And then we can discuss the rest of them next week. Number 8. Forgiving is okay, but I believe that I should seek justice for the wrongs that were done to me. Now, that's kind of a balance to that, okay? There's a balance to this. You see, if you were raped, for example, then the person should be reported. They should be brought to justice so that they do not rape anybody else.
Right.
If somebody mugged you and you know who did it, you should, that person should be reported and they should be brought to justice, because if you don't deal with them, then they'll go out and do it to somebody else. So forgiving, it does not necessarily mean, okay, well, I'm just going to, he raped me, but I'll just let it go. You take that person needs to go to jail. Especially if it's a child molester. The person needs to go to jail. Now, you can still forgive them. Forgiving means in my heart, I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. But the person has to do restitution, or else that person will go out and do it to somebody else. But at the same time, you have got to know your motives. What are your motives for wanting justice? Do I want justice because now I hate this person for what they did to me? Or do I want justice so I can make sure that nobody else gets hurt the way I was hurt? See, there's a big difference there. See, I would want justice to make sure that nobody else gets done what that person did. I remember reading a story one time, and it really touched my heart. And it shows me the power of God that people, when they're able to do things like this. But there was a man who raped and killed a little girl in the church. And they finally brought the man to justice, but they hated his guts. They hated him for what he did to that little girl in their own church. And one day they were praying, and God dealt with them. And they went to the prison to visit the man. And they asked the man, they said, could you forgive us? He's like, what? Y'all want me to forgive y'all after what I did? He said, yes, forgive us, because we held this thing against you and we should have forgiven you. And this touched this man so much it made him cry. He gave his life to Christ.
Oh.
See, no matter what somebody's done, the ultimate goal is to destroy the works of the devil.
That's right.
He is our ultimate enemy.
Yeah.
See, he wants you to hate people and to despise them and to want the worst for them. Yes, this person should have gone to jail. He was right to be in prison. But what we have to do after that is make sure that our hearts are right towards that person.
Yeah.
So there is a balance to this justice thing. But most of the time, people talk about they want to seek justice because they really want revenge. They don't want to help somebody. They don't want to make sure that it's for the purpose of helping somebody else. They're trying to seek justice so that they can get vengeance on the person that hurt them. Well, we can't have that. Now, there's a couple of scriptures I wanted to show you on that, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. We'll probably take it up next week. We'll probably deal with this one a little more next week. But I just wanted to explain to you the difference between the law and personal vengeance. See, because remember what Jesus said? He said, it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But then he goes on to say, but I say unto you, if somebody sues you for your coat, give them your cloak too.
Yes.
If somebody asks you to walk a mile, go with them too. See, Jesus was not telling you, well, the law of Moses was no good. That wasn't what he was saying. See, what happened was the Pharisees had misinterpreted that law and turned it into personal vengeance.
Yeah.
In other words, if you do something to me, then they interpret it as, I got the right to get back at you. But that's not what the law was saying. If you go to Deuteronomy, where the eye for eye, tooth for tooth law is being taught, it is talking about the judges of Israel. After they have judged the situation and saw what was happening, then they were to extend punishment of like kind. For example, if, you know, Ann made me mad and I just cracked her one time, you know, Tino's in jail so he can't get to me right now. So if I was to just crack her one time and knock her tooth out, then she'd take me before the law and they say, well, yeah, you know, you had several witnesses in the church that said you cracked her one time and knocked her tooth out. So, you know, Pastor Christick, won't you go and crack him once and knock his tooth out? So, see, it was a judiciary decision that was passed on by the judges, not by the individual person. In other words, it wasn't Ann coming up to me and knocking my tooth out. It was the judges making the decision based on evidence and witnesses that I did wrong. And so Jesus was not saying that no more of the capital punishment. Even Romans chapter 12 talks about capital punishment. And that's an epistle of Paul. So I believe in the death penalty. I mean, maybe some of y'all don't. But, you know, there is a judiciary decision that has to be made by law.
Yeah.
And I believe that the law are God's ministers.
Yes.
I believe those policemen are God's ministers. You get pulled over because you were speeding, you was going 65 in a 55 mile zone, it was your fault. You get a ticket for it, don't come saying, the devil attacked me. No, he didn't. You were speeding. If you went to rob a bank and you got caught and thrown in jail, don't say, well, the devil got me good this time. No, it was you. It was completely, totally you. So praise God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can. So there's an aspect of seeking justice for the right motives and the right reasons, but you do not seek justice for personal vengeance. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet. We've got a few more of these we're going to go through. And then we'll be finished with this subject, I hope. Now, if the Holy Spirit leads us to do more, we will do that. Because I'm going to obey Him. And not my feelings or even yours. Praise God. But what I want to do right now, I want all heads bowed and all eyes closed. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Now I want you to listen to me. Some of you really need to take the time out to repent. Some of you have either been done wrong, somebody has done you wrong, and you have not yet forgiven the person. Even though you've heard me teach on this week after week after week, and yet you have refused to obey the word of God. Or you've heard this, you tried it, but then as soon as the temptation came up, you fell right into it, and you let the devil get you. You let him steal the word from your heart. Others of you have done somebody wrong and been cold about it, and you haven't repented of it, and you continue to justify it to yourself. Any of these categories that I've mentioned, I want you to take time, take a moment, and reflect that I want you to ask God to forgive you.
If you have done somebody wrong, then you need to reconcile with that person.
You do not need God's wrath or God's judgment upon you. And as a pastor, I love you too much to sugarcoat any of this kind of thing with you. If you love God, if you say you love God, and you say you love people, then make up your mind whether you will truly repent and do what is right in all these areas. Forgive, ask for forgiveness, and try to live according to the word. So take a moment. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Jesus, I love you, I praise you, I adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth, glorify thy name, glorify. Hallelujah. This should have given you enough time. Now, anybody who needs to see me, I will pray with you privately after we dismiss the service. But I would encourage you to come see me if you need to concerning this area. This area is just all too important. The Holy Spirit would not have us deal with this for this many weeks if it was not this important. We even had a confirmation of this on Friday when another man got up and said almost some of the same things we've been saying or we're going to say at the Operation I Care Friends and Family Night. So we know that the Holy Spirit is really speaking here. So I would encourage you to come see me after we dismiss the service. Praise God. Pastor Christy, come on.